Mics are live.
This is a misnomer, all right?
I lost my copy. Is there an extra over there?
You don't modify the settlement.
Is there an extra one of these copies over there?
Here, I can share.
No, we can't.
Jerry or Alana, is there an extra copy of this over there? What Brian just handed out?
I'll make you one. No, there's one for me and one.
We found it. We found it. Never mind. Okay, we'll start this. Wait a minute. It's 8:03, Friday, December 14th, 2018. Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. This is a work session on case number 18-155. Are there other cases that need to be cited?
I don't think so.
The XL settlement, rate settlement case?
Well, the general tax case, but I don't know the numbers.
Well, this kind of merged case regarding 18-155,
yeah,
and the settlement that's been discussed with XL Energy and Commission advocacy staff, joined with by Commissioners Crassus and Fedorchuk. And I don't have any opening comments.
Nor do I.
Okay, I'm going to go through the handout that I just gave real quick because I think it will help expedite the process. I look at this as having four options. One, we have the settlement that we've all seen. That, you know, that's an option to accept the settlement as it is currently written. I've talked to staff extensively, quite a bit, about a second option would be, and I'm saying this in simplistic terms because I know there's some moving parts that would have to be accomplished to do that. The second option, which would be to modify the settlement, which I feel is too generous, by stripping out the renewable energy rider portion of it, which then, of course, changes the settlement. Third is just say, you know what, because we talked about this the last time, return the TCJA savings for 2018. And I just put January and February, you know, in terms of recognizing that it takes some time to adjust rates. And it's essentially, it all goes back to the consumer. And then the fourth, the company yesterday sent in offered.
Before you go through the fourth one, when you say adjust rates, you mean adjust the rates down to take out the,
to reflect the TCJA savings.
Got it.
Yep. And then the company asked if we wanted another informal, however you want to say it, to go through the numbers again. I'll just talk about that one real quick for myself. I don't think I need another informal hearing. I think I've got a pretty firm handle on what the components do and what the different pieces are and the trade-offs, et cetera. So as I said, I think the first one is a little too generous. But then I go back and forth between, let's just go to rate case versus, given the revenue requirement that they indicate, the deficiency that they're indicating, if that were true, then the second option would be better than that. Rate freeze, customers get a refund for 2018, and the rates aren't yo-yoing up and down, which they're going to be to some point extent. Yeah.
I just have a question on that. Just two and three are really, you know, the settlement's okay except for
right
a few, an item or two.
Not so, three.
Well, two.
Well,
is
two.
What you're referring to, right, Alana?
So different that it's.
That's true. Okay. Outside completely.
Yeah. I would agree with that on two.
Okay.
What you just said, but no, not three.
Talk about your logic for number two, though, just eliminating the renewable energy rider.
It's another, what's the total, 14, or not 14, it's 4.7 million.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it as, it's a piece of the settlement, it's 4.7 million. I think that on top of giving them the TCJA savings in 2019 and 2020, even with the over-earnings clause component, which I think in some ways is a moot point. If on one hand they're saying, well, we're going to be short on revenue, it's not likely they're going to over-earn if that's true. lowering the return on equity from 10.25 to 9.85 seems, and I mentioned it, I think, in the informal, seems like a moot point to me as well, because barring unforeseen circumstances, they're not going to get to that point anyway.
Well,
I guess I
don't see number two as a viable option, and unless I'm wrong about something here. So I'm throwing this out kind of in the form, in a, as a question. The ADPs were just approved, and so there's going to be recovery of those costs involved, and it's a significant part of this settlement. It's not like it's $100,000 or something like that. It's significant, and so I would just fully expect, if we write an order that does the rest of the settlement, they have to refund the 2018 TCGA savings, all the rest of things, their agreement to not do a rate case for 2 years hinges on this package that was brought to us as a package, and I would say they're going to refund that and turn around and file a rate case, and so we might as well not approve any of it then.
You know, I would think that to some extent as well. However, I think there's a definite eagerness on the company to reach a settlement, or they would not have provided the document yesterday.
Well, initially, when I was looking at number two, I felt like you, Randy, where I thought, well, we just approved the ADP, and they're going to get recovery. But what I hear you saying, Brian, and I think it has merit, is that if you look at the renewable energy rider not as any sort of reflection on the justification of those costs, but as just more revenue. It's just more revenue. It's $1.4 million more revenue in 2019.
What was the number again?
$1.4 in 2019 is what I have in my notes. And what I think I hear Brian saying is, if we were to approve this, you're already getting the additional revenue from the higher tax increase or the higher tax rates that we're not making you adjust your rates for. So use that as a settlement to help offset the cost of those renewable energy projects.
Well, I just hasten to add, though, doing that is, that would be us issuing an order, which they could appeal or ignore. There's not a settlement already in place where they agree to not file a rate case for 2 years that excludes that. And so
Right. We
issue that order. They might have a rate case filed by the end of January already.
And
they might.
I want to interject, like, when you don't like a part of a settlement, you really don't issue an order that says do that other thing. You issue an order that says, I don't like part of the settlement.
Yeah,
I like nine parts, but the tenth part I don't like, and I would find it acceptable if, and really you don't have a decision on that case then. What you have is you're back at the regular case with the regular hearing and the regular questions.
Or the company.
Unless they come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the company can say, okay, we'll go for this.
Yes.
And then, or they could come back and say, we'll go for it, but we're only going to do 1 year of the rate.
Yes.
You know.
So you have to get their feedback. You either get it formally, kind of, or you ask them to go talk some more.
Take that one step further and say, this part of the settlement is not acceptable, and it's approved without that part. It's approved if that.
Well, all the settlements say that if you don't approve the whole thing, that they don't exist anymore.
No, it says they have an option to.
Well, okay.
So then if they don't like it,
yeah. They
can negate it.
Right.
Well, rather than doing that through official orders and using up meetings and the time involved with all that, if that's the case, wouldn't we be better off going to number four and having an informal and see if they're going to agree to that, or if we're assuming that there will not be a rate case and for 2 years when that's maybe not the case.
I recommend that kind of thing, and maybe not an informal, maybe a letter. We've asked staff to write a letter.
Well, I think the part it does hinge on, and again, just, you know, to expand just a touch further on my line of thinking. They're indicating a revenue deficiency in 2019 of approximately $15 million. Okay? And the same in 2020 for a total of $30 million. But on an annualized basis, they're talking about $15 million. When you look at what rate cases really land at, I would not, I mean, there's no guarantee they would come in with more than 10, for example. That would be two-thirds, which is essentially how a lot of them go. I know they're all different, they're not related, but we're critical of revenue, the revenue ask, and we're going to, in all likelihood, knock it down. That's the way the process works. It's our job to get the number down as much as possible. So if they land at 10 and you've got TCJA savings of almost 10, that's why I think layering one more thing on top of it is a lot to ask when I don't think they're going to, I mean, the over-earning protection and lowering the rate of return are nice to put in as sweeteners, if you will. But they're not consistent with the company saying, well, we're going to be short. They just seem like a moot point. So I'm just really looking at it very simplistic that about where they could land matches up with TCJA savings. So why would we throw another $4.7 million in on top of it? And I understand there's nothing to say that they can't come in and file for the renewable energy rider for an increase. I understand that.
Alana, well, all three of you guys, Pat, maybe you should pull up to the table. I'm open to what Brian has laid out here on this, but I still, in my heart of hearts, feel like this is a heck of a lot of revenue increase to just grant them through a settlement that we really haven't gotten more than. The costs are being driven by the nuclear plants being relicensed and some of the changes that they've had to do there. I mean, do you think this is a good way to protect the public interest by just granting them almost $20 million worth of new revenue without for more exhaustive analysis?
That's, I think, is why they want the informal hearing, or they asked for that. So they'd like to spend a little more time explaining to you.
Well, right. And I appreciate that, but that's still, what, an hour? Mm-hmm. And we hire experts to dig out the numbers and question and evaluate and analyze and be like, my goodness, this is like, oh, okay. But, you know, in an hour you can give us the high-level summary without any scrutiny from outsiders on these numbers. It just does not feel, I mean, I like to avoid rate cases too when possible, but sometimes I think they're necessary to make sure that we're doing our job of holding the company responsible for justifying what's driving these costs.
I had the same exact feelings from the beginning on this case, and I can hear former Commissioner Kalk saying, just go to a hearing and get this stuff on the record, and this is the kind of thing you would decide after the hearing, and you'd have all that volume
right.
of research. So
when you say hearing, you mean rate case?
Well, or a hearing on all of these facts, even as opposed to an informal. I'm not trying to make work or spend money either. But
haven't we gone down the road of, you know, is it reasonable? I mean, advocacy came up with this settlement as well. So the same people that will be, you know, that came up with these numbers look good, and they believe it's in the public's best interest. And I get it. You know, that is the nagging part for me too, Julie. Absolutely. Let's just flesh it all out. They file. Interim rates are going to jump, you know, call it in March or whenever. You know, I don't know how long it'll take them. That I'm not going to speculate, but I would anticipate they're going to be coming in pretty quick if we just go with option number three, and then we won't know, frankly, if that was or wasn't in the best interest of ratepayers until the numbers are all crunched and the dust settles on whatever the settlement winds up being or what they wind up getting. That's the tough part, is do these numbers match up? And if they do?
We just spent a year and a half, had thousands of pages of testimony filed on a case that had $85 million worth of savings for customers. Savings. That got umpteen million times more scrutiny than this proposal that suggests giving them $20 million of additional revenue over the course of the next couple of years. So I don't feel right about it.
Maybe you order them to file a rate case and then you get your application fee.
I just was thinking that I know it's extra time, but if you allow the company to come in for an informal and they could show numbers that made it so obvious that they weren't going to, you know, that they needed that additional revenue, then, you could be convinced that by that. But I would say it would have to be so obvious and so significant.
And without any scrutiny from outsiders?
Well, what
experts?
I'm saying is that if they present numbers and issues that could go either way.
Don't you think they would have had that at the tip of their tongue when we sat down with them the last time? I asked like 3 or 4 times, what's driving this? And I have one line in my notes.
That's true. Yeah. I'm just giving them one more chance.
Well, I'd like to find a simpler way too, but it doesn't seem like a proper step right now with this much revenue at stake.
Well, I was between 2 and 3. There are pros and cons to both. And there are a lot of unknowns, and I agree. The best way to find out and see where we land would be to implement number 3, and then it's up to the company on when they want to file or if they file or when, et cetera, for a rate case. I'm certainly not going to go after them to encourage it, but you know it's coming.
If you want to do 3, do. Let me read it before I say the sentence. Why January and February as opposed to.
Those numbers.
As of the end of 2018 or the end of March. I think
Brian was thinking just a couple of months to get the new rates set up and through the computers and in place.
That's not a hard and fast thing, but to think that they're going to have rates adjusted on January 1st at this point, that's not realistic. So you know January is going to have to roll into a refund mode because it's not going to be reflected in rates. And I'm just anticipating February would likely be the same, but by March 1st.
So that might be when their interim rates would go into effect.
Yeah, I mean, the rates would be going down, and then they'd be going right back up or a little bit more if they asked for, which will be a little bit confusing for customers. It's like, okay, your rates just went down because of the TCJA, and in a blink of an eye, they just went back up because of a rate case. And then the customer's going to say, well, wait a second, where are my TCJA savings? My utility bill just went up. Yep. And that is really a tough one to tell, explain, but they will have to if that's the case.
Which is the point, but also kind of the dilemma of the settlement. With the settlement, it wasn't where's my TCGA savings because my rates just went up. It's where's my TCGA savings because my rates didn't change, but at least they didn't go up.
Yeah, and they do get the $46 refund.
For 18, yeah.
And a little bit more for 19.
Well, I mean, it's not without consequences, for sure. because they will have an interim, sizable interim rate increase, and we're obligated to grant how much of that?
Was it 80% of the ask?
Isn't there a certain percentage?
No, it's just all of it. It's based on the decision.
Turn your mic on, Pat.
And Pat, just so I don't miss anything as we're talking, the $15 million revenue deficiency they're talking about is beyond the TCJA savings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So not only do the TCJA savings go away and rates aren't frozen, they actually go up even more.
Yeah. When we cut, my understanding
it's a jump. Even then they say, well, how did my rates just jump and the company's got the TCJA savings? What just happened?
Yeah, taxes went down, so you get that money back, and the company says they need a lot more money, so your rates went up.
I just think it's an odd situation because rate making is, trust me, over the past week in particular, is incredibly hard. It's not that people aren't smart, but it just takes a long time to explain it.
Lalana, you made another point that I thought was kind of intriguing about this that I hadn't thought about, and that is, I mean, we've been going through this whole process as a settlement. It could have been a more formal process.
It could be a more formal process if the settlement is not approved in any fashion, you know, totally, partially, whatever, because they will have a right. That's what I was just saying to Pat. They have a right to present testimony and cross-examine and stuff. They may argue about the numbers. I mean, the numbers could not even be the numbers you think they are here. So just so you have that in your mind, when you don't approve the settlement, again, I know the paragraph that says they can send a letter, but you're back at the beginning of the case where you have the hearing, you could have the hearing and the cross-examination and stuff.
Maybe that's the avenue to pursue versus...
Can we get the 2018 savings back through that along the way quicker?
Well, I think you can do anything with their agreement and, you know, whatever you think is the fastest. I mean, that's to write them a letter and say, what would you say to this kind of thing, and you might have it.
So if the... Go ahead.
I think it's pretty safe to say we can order a refund of the 2018 TCGA mm-hmm. savings,
sure.
And they could appeal it, but they're going to lose.
Well, they might ask for a hearing first, yeah. And I don't think you can deny that.
But
because all you had was
that's not ever going to be overturned. We right. will.
No, eventually. I'm just talking about time.
That will happen, and so I think they will just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is everything else revolving. What kind of a rate case
mm-hmm.
do we anticipate and want them to file? And
yeah, but
the consequences.
If we do that, I mean, you kind of lose the company will just come in for a rate case. Then. I mean,
right? You would just have both of those things happening.
But if there's some value to them of the package, which there appears to be, then. We would want to continue this process if we think that there may be value to avoiding giving them a refund and having an interim rate increase that's
yeah.
sizable.
Yeah.
So maybe the...
And the 2018 savings go back, you know,
at some point.
Fairly quick.
Yeah, but you'd have to go through this. They wouldn't give those back until they knew they were getting something.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't. Otherwise, we'd just give them back and go to rate case. So... The formal process. So are there, I never got a real sense from Jack and Victor either in our informal, if they have a bunch of documents that we could either be looking at now or to justify some of these costs. But that's the type of thing that would get formally included into a record,
mm-hmm.
the company. So we could just say, we want to go to a hearing, set out the hearing date, they would do their filings, we would get, here's the justification for what we're saying to get to this. Here's the filings. What would it be justification for the settlement, or would it just be like then they'd start over and say, here's what we want to do, or what?
I think you could leave the settlement on the table and say we want a hearing. And
on
then,
the settlement.
Unless they withdraw the settlement, it's still before you after the hearing.
What would the hearing be on? The settlement?
It would be on the settlement, but the piece parts of the settlement are this detail that you are talking about. So, I mean, I think you'd get, or it would be a good attempt at least to get at those details, that justification.
I would be comfortable with that.
Well,
it's going to be quicker than a rate case.
Seems
it's not going to be quick as just deciding today, but.
As I said in our last case, I didn't find this settlement to be completely unreasonable. I just don't. But I'm not a fan of whole. And one of the things I liked about it was the fact that instead of being great folks here and issuing this, forcing the company to issue this tax refund and then quickly turning around and raising rates, it was just used to kind of balance it out. And I thought there was some reasonableness to that. But what I'm not a fan of is drawing this out much longer and holding that tax refund money that in just a few weeks, the first dollars of that is going to be a year old already that it's been withheld. And so to me, if we're going to draw this out much longer, we can't use the tax cut savings to offset the upcoming increase. We just have to get it sent back to the folks and start fresh.
But that's what we're doing for 2019 and 2020. Exactly what we're doing, holding the tax increase. And offsetting the rates.
If we could get the 2018 back relatively quick, and then if we did go to a hearing to really flesh out 2019 and 2020, that seems very reasonable. We're not sitting on the money anymore. So what? That's contingent on the company saying we don't want to. I don't know how they can really call that a bargaining chip anymore, though, since the savings are essentially in hand. You know, 2018 is just about done.
Yeah, I don't think they're bargaining with the 2018.
Right, right. Yeah, no, and I don't think they are either, which is why I also think we could get it back relatively quickly. So now we have option number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, you two. I was trying to thought these would be reduced.
Well,
I have to think about it a little more, but it just seems to get everything that we're, you know, it addresses our concerns, you know, in terms of not sitting on the 2018 refund. If we can get that out quickly, we know the direction we're going. We'll have more facts.
So we'd be basically returning the 2018 savings, mm-hmm. TCJA savings, and negotiating the rates going forward and the rider. Yeah, which is the rates.
I don't know if negotiating is the right word. You're going to have a hearing on it, right?
Yeah.
Further investigating.
Yeah.
And you could do an order that said just about that if you wanted to act. Do anything?
Further investigating.
So basically, the exact thing that we had in front of us is to have a hearing to investigate this settlement.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. with the exception of the 2018 tax refund, and we could do a order quickly to...
Yeah, order and notice.
Ordering them to return that.
Wait, Pat?
Sounds good.
Order and notice?
Order and notice. I've never done one of those.
Nope. We'll have a new template.
Are you comfortable with that, Randy? Or is it veering off in a different direction?
With a separate order to return the tax refunds?
No, as you just described it, yeah.
Well, I was just kind of reiterating it.
It solves one nagging issue. Well, two, frankly. One, the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives clarity. Provides clarity, and two, getting those 2018 savings back to the consumers, to the customers. we're probably going to wind up in, you know, rate case comes, we're going to wind up in hearing anyway.
Well, if the company is prepared to come provide further information, you know, in short order on an informal basis about their justification, then that this shouldn't be hard. They'll be halfway there to getting a more formal presentation in the record so we can do a little more due diligence on what's driving these significant costs.
And then this gets away from the yo-yoing of rates.
Right.
Which is a...
Potentially, yes.
So am I hearing about going back to granting their request for an informal?
No.
And take it from there? No?
Well, I think, but they want a formal, not an informal.
Okay.
So are we wanting to bring in advocacy staff, what was his name, Heidel?
And we don't have money.
Mm. Well, that's...
Unless we let them take a regular rate case where we can file their fee.
We're not in a regular rate case, but we don't have money, but do we want to come in without that information? What I'm hearing is a desire for more information.
Do you have an estimate on what he would charge?
No. $100,000. What's $175,000? That's what the that's what the company can pay, so that's what they charge.
No. Is that starting from scratch in this case?
No.
Right.
Worth pursuing. See.
And it's not impossible that we could, that, you know, staff, our advocacy staff, could take a look at it. And maybe be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, advocacy has been taking a look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
they've been working on this extensively. Yes, exactly. At least from my conversations, I'm asking them, you know, what I can, which is very little, unfortunately. But sometimes you just really wish you knew what.
We do have advocacy staff. I mean, like you say, yeah. We already have advocacy staff on this. In this proceeding.
So they would certainly be able to look at their filings and comment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And perhaps do more discovery or whatever they need to do, the normal research.
So the time frame for, just walk through a potential time frame, Alana, just.
Well, I think you can do your order notice fairly soon, but I don't know. It would depend on what you discuss with your people on how much time they think they need, and then someone will discuss with the company how much time they think they need to still get it done quickly.
Yeah. So the notice would require how long before hearing?
Well,
I mean, I know that depends on everybody agreeing to it, but what would it, like, the minimum?
The minimum's 20 days.
20
but
days.
But I bet people are going to say that's too soon. But
yeah, that's 30 days.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
So if we did something at the meeting next week, we would be talking about
end of January.
Late January at the earliest, probably February.
Yeah, probably.
Mid-February. Well, I think I'm a lot more comfortable with that than just signing off without any additional discovery on what's driving this and a stronger record on what's driving these cost increases to warrant allowing them to keep these TCJA savings for 2 years in their rates.
I agree.
Probably. Well, what's left of the settlement, yeah.
So do you have an idea now of what you want to, what orders you want drafted up for next week?
Assuming that from a timing standpoint, staff can get it done, yeah.
Well, and you could also get an estimate.
For the timing part, yeah.
Or a guesstimate on what it would cost for a consultant, too. I mean, you can try to figure that out.
For the timing part, you would be pretty close to getting the thing, you know, like close to meeting time.
yeah, because it's Friday.
By the time everybody gets done going around on it.
But no, I would really like to get it noticed on this next meeting.
the document can be produced. It's not that, this one's not that hard.
Yeah, this one won't be that difficult.
So notice on the next meeting, and then in terms of the 2018 refund?
Yeah, order and notice.
We were thinking of doing it together, and because they're so linked in the decision-making.
Okay, perfect.
That I think it's important to do them together.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. Anything else for this work session? Okay, we are concluded. Thank you, everyone.
Awesome.